And good morning. It is 9:08 a.m. It is Wednesday, the 16th of March. And I am joined by Mr. Pat Cohen, the superintendent of Burlington Community School District.
Hey, good morning, everybody. And you may not know this, but it is National Plumber Appreciation Day. So I was going to give a shout out to Burlington Schools plumber Bob Hobbs. Bob keeps all these toilets working for the 3,500 students and the 1,000 employees and those type of things. So a big shout out to Bob Hobbs. And if you see him today, tell him, Bob, thank you for being the school's plumber.
Absolutely. Let's give a shout out to Mr. Hobbs. That's really great. So, Mr. Cohen, we're going to be speaking about some school business. And I think one of the big things that I've noticed and I got to witness for the past couple of weeks was it's been a really good year for BHS sports.
Yeah, it really has. We had a kid at state cross country, state football, state basketball, state track, state golf. Yeah, sports are really hitting a stride right now. When I first came here, none of the schools were Greyhounds, only the high school. We made them all Greyhounds. I had old lady stopping me at the homecoming parade and telling me, hey, it's great to see everybody in the purple and gray. And just building that unity, we took the two middle schools and stopped playing each other and making that a big deal, and we brought in unity. So I think that we'll continue to see this grow. And Jay Huff, the new athletic director, is a great guy, a national champion in wrestling in college, and understand what it takes to be good and to do your best and bring out the best in student athletes. And the other thing I want to mention is our athletes have higher grade point averages than the average students, you know. So the idea of the dumb jock is not true, because they have to be disciplined enough to not only get their schoolwork done and stay eligible, but also attend to all the practices and the out-of-season workouts and the weightlifting and and all that type of stuff.
Absolutely, so. Because the important word in student-athlete is the first one there.
Yep.
But you mentioned the new athletic director. There really has been some changes. I, not being a Burlington native and only living here for a short time now so far, noticed that a lot of people were praising the Burlington football program for a really quick turnaround this past fall, and that was a really great thing to see. And the basketball program obviously had a lot of really great success this year. I was really looking into the state tournament. The team that gave Ames, the top-ranked team in the conference, the closest game they had in the tournament was Burlington.
It was.
That has to be something they can hang their hat on big time.
They can. And what I hope the young people see this, fall sport, winter sport, spring sports, we do what's called a parade of excellence. And we take students, and we have a video made, and the teachers pull the kids up on their little rugs, and they show them the video, and they talk about the kids that are going to walk through our halls here are the children that went to this school. They were once in your desk. They did these things, and you talk about being on time, being respectful, doing your work, be a Greyhound, be hardworking. Those fundamental tenets of self-discipline. And we're trying to use the athletics to seed that conceptualization across the whole organization. And we also bring in our great people from our orchestra. We bring in people who flourish in our programs at school and short little videos. And as the kids walk through the hall, we have the cheerleaders and Homer the Hound and the drums going. And all the kids are, yay! You know, and we're trying to seed that concept of commitment to a mission and a vision and working hard, be on time, be respectful, be a Greyhound. Fundamental tenets of self-discipline. And if you're disciplining yourself, then the world doesn't have to discipline you. You know, so there's a lot of deep-seated intention in what we're doing and how we're doing it. And you said a very wise thing early. It takes time. But the time and the investment is well worth it, because it changes the dynamics of an organization.
And I am very much an advocate of not just sports, but in school. But I think young people participating in any sort of extracurricular, whether it be sports or, in my opinion, especially fine arts, really does instill in them a real sense of purpose and gives them goals to strive to, and also helps them make friends.
It does. And you belong. You found something. You found yourself. You're finding a direction, mm-hmm. a purpose, you know, those type of things. Now, the one thing I hadn't thought of was the teachers. You see what I mean? I was so focused on, I want to instill in our students these values, this direction and this buy-in and this hard work ethic. The teachers look at this kid walk by. Amarian won the slam dunk contest at the Southeast Iowa All-Star Basketball thing this last weekend. Mm-hmm. He had teachers in Burlington. So the teachers look at this kid walk by, and they remember this snot-nosed little second grader drinking chocolate milk and eating cookies, you know what I mean?
Yes.
And now all of a sudden, the fruits of their labor is walking by them and being an example of what we want. And I was not ready for that part of it. To see the teachers hug the kid, tear up a little bit, you know what I mean? And
I've seen many cases of that. I have very close ties to a lot of people in education in my life, and it is really rewarding as an educator to see the people that your students turn into, I think.
It is. It is. And for the longest time, I could look at a kid and go, yep, you are so-and-so, and you, your mom and dad, you know, I could do that. But when I got deployed in 2005 with the Army, and I was gone for that year. Mm-hmm. I came back, and I couldn't do it anymore. I just met so many people, I was overwhelmed. So now if somebody sees me and wants to talk, just help me out a little bit and go, hey, I am, oh, yeah, and then it comes back to me pretty quick.
Right.
But it's just so many now, that, and I'm mm-hmm. getting older, so it's
right. Why don't we get a little bit of school business here?
Absolutely.
It says here, the University of Northern Iowa Student Teachers Agreement. What can you tell me about that?
Oh, yeah. We have student-teacher agreements with many institutions, colleges, and universities. And we sign that, and then that allows us to have that student in come to our school and student teach in our buildings. And that's invaluable right now with the workforce issues that we're having. We recruit student teachers right away. You know, they come in, they show promise, they show diligence, they show commitment to mission, vision, and values, and to students first. We're all over them.
Right.
We'll be signing them before they're done student teaching.
Yeah. We heard a lot about workforce issues throughout the pandemic, which, you know, fingers crossed, it looks like we're sort of on the tail end of that now.
Yep.
And one of the fields that really didn't get spoken about much in terms of hiring struggles was education, because
right.
we spoke about the impact on students and families, and we didn't really take into effect the effect it had on our teachers that much, I feel.
Yeah, we didn't pay enough attention to that.
Because we talked about how the effects of not being in the classroom with other people affects the students, and it did.
Right.
And, well, it affects different students different ways, I'll say. But it affects the teachers in a very, very big way, because they can't interact with their students at all, for the most part.
Right. And they had that innate nurturing, that innate desire to advance humanity, and their innate desires were held back. And it's ridiculous. Now, it's kind of coincidental and funny that you bring this up. Shears Corporation here in Burlington.
Mm-hmm.
At the board meeting, Nancy Holzen is a retired teacher, and she's on the school board now. And I've always respected the heck out of Nancy. She was the president of the union when I was first the superintendent here. I could walk into her classroom and have a conversation with her and work through issues and get ahead of stuff. And during my evaluation last year, Nancy said, you got to do something nice for the teachers. And I was like, all right, Nancy, what do you have as an idea? Because she'd give me great advice about slowing down, because I can get going, I'm hyper. And I can get into a building, I'm walking fast, I'm, hey, how you doing? And then I'm out of the building. She's like, Pat, slow down. slow down. And I stop. Nancy's right. I need to slow down. Well, Nancy this time says, Pat, you need to do something nice for them, like cookies. And I'm thinking, we have 1,100 employees, full and part-time, somewhere around there. That's a lot of cookies.
That is.
That is a lot of cookies. So I called Shears. been talking to Shears, and I said, hey, we'll buy the cookies. I can't bake that many, but can we have cookies that give out to people? Shears Corporation called me back, the plant manager out there, and he says, Pat, we're going to give you the cookies. We're going to get a run going. You get your truck ready. We'll have a truck over here. So during one of the professional development days coming up here, everybody's going to have cookies on Shears. You know, so thank you, Shears, for doing that for us. And, you know, I remember my great-grandma Mary. I grew up in Burlington, was born here. My great-grandparents lived here, my grandparents, my mom and my dad. And my grandma worked there. And, you know, just the smell of it and all those type of things. So thank you, Shears, because I didn't want to go down in the history of the worst cookies ever from a superintendent to the teachers. I appreciate you. Here's some really bad cookies.
This is a whole other thing, but it's always good to see local businesses supporting the school district.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yes. And the Shears didn't blink an eye. So, in fact, they called me and said, hey, don't worry about paying us.
Really great community. So this agreement is just going to help bring more student teachers from UNI down to Burlington?
It is. It's going to make that a open valve. UNI has a great tradition of teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one of the top teaching schools in the nation. So for us to be able to start bringing those children back here, the young adults, back here is huge. So we're excited. We'll work with the colleges and universities, and we'll do the best that we can to bring people in here.
No, it's always good to have because we need teachers.
Yes.
We need them.
We need teachers bad.
All right. Moving on to another point of business here. This year's budget amendment for this new for last fiscal year, what did the report look like?
Well, we actually, for the longest time, Burlington was losing children. Now, part of that is due to open enrollment. It mm-hmm. always has been. But the most impactful part of declining enrollment is declining population. The average age of women giving birth is somewhere around 27, 28. The average age of a woman in Burlington is over 40. We're suddenly not going to have more babies. Thus, more students.
At
least for a while. And the other thing is families now used to have four children per family or more. We're down to under two now. You know, so the school systems across the nation have to continue to right size. Several years ago, we realigned some buildings. We closed a building. We changed it to an early childhood center. So we're morphing as an organization to continue to meet the needs of our community. And that we will unfortunately have to continue right-sizing. I think sometime around 2025, they're going to have to look at our school system and say, we no longer need this many buildings. So what can we do with one of the buildings so that we are being good stewards of the tax dollar and not being foolish with how we're running the mm-hmm. operations?
So no major cuts in this past fiscal year or?
No. In fact, the ESSER money, we brought in additional, and we overhired, and we have many, many interventionists working on COVID recovery issues mm-hmm. and trying to bring the scores back up and get the kids caught up because the effects of COVID was profound on economically challenged areas. Burlington schools, the average income in Burlington is low. The valuation of property is low. And we know that. We know that we have somewhere around 120 to 130 homeless children. We have children who don't have Wi-Fi. So the effects of COVID on us was much more negative than more affluent communities. So we hired additional interventionists to come in and help with the recovery. And the interventionists will transition to positions as teachers retire or they move closer to home, or they decide to step out and start their family. So our hope is that as the ESSER money runs out, these people will be able to transition into positions here, and we'll be able to keep them and have built-in backup.
So the state of the last fiscal year, so there wasn't much drop-off, but there wasn't really a ton of gain either.
Well, the state of Iowa does what is called a 1 cent budget guarantee. If you have declining enrollment, they give you 1% increase, and that tells the school district, get your stuff in order for next year. It's almost like the rollback on taxes. So instead of peaks and valleys, you get general rolling knolls. Mm-hmm. It's a process that allows people to manage things over time more effectively, and we took advantage of that.
Right.
Last year, I think there was 800,000 or something in 1 cent budget guarantee. Well, this year we don't have declining enrollment, so now we don't have that, but we've been ready to prepare for that for a year. And our CFO, Greg Reynolds, is a sharp individual. He's on top of it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
all right. And speaking of taxes here, I see it here on the sheet. Aid and levy proposals. So the school tax levy, that's going to be a hot button issue with some people. What's the word on that?
Well, actually, we're down a dollar. Again, the budget guarantee went away. We're down a dollar. If we can keep the enrollment rolling the way that it is, we no longer have the budget guarantee, so hopefully we can keep that down. Now, it does ebb and flow,
mm-hmm.
you know, and again, the rollback and trying to keep things on that general curvature and not these big spikes up or big spikes down. I would probably imagine that the taxes will go back up a little bit next year, but I'm not sure if it'll come back up to where we were in the past. So it is a good news for the taxpayers.
Right. Yeah, because taxpayers, they generally like to like to know how their money is being spent and how much they have to pay.
Right, they do. And especially with Burlington being Burlington Schools being one of the largest employers in Burlington.
Mm-hmm.
I believe the hospital and maybe the ammunition plant hires more people than we do,
mm-hmm.
and employs more people than we do. So the economic impact that we have on the greater Burlington region is huge, because people are buying their groceries, they're living in a house, they're buying gas, their gas prices now. You know, you look at those things.
That's a whole nother issue.
It is. It is. You know, when you look at inflation, you know, and for us right now, we're steering down a horrific increase in health care, you know, for our employees. So even though we're giving them
I haven't heard too much discussion about that, actually. That's a great point to bring up, is the increase in prices for just general health and life and coverage in terms of insurance.
Oh, yeah. And it's the renewal rate is just unacceptable. But we do have to provide this for our employees, you know, and I just think the government, and not necessarily the state of Iowa, but the United States as all, needs to figure out how we handle mm-hmm. some of these health issues, and what do we do with, you know, when there's a very small percentage that's driving it up for everybody. Because for me, what scares me as a young, possibly unmarried employee, you could go out on the market and buy it much cheaper and not even be part of our plan. But then you do that, and now you're not part of our plan. So the people that are still in our plan goes up higher. You see what I mean? And then mm-hmm. the person who is unable to get off our plan because of the health issues that they have or their loved ones have, it's a catch-22. But it's definitely something we have to work at.
It's definitely a catch-22. This is a bit of an unrelated question. Has the increased fuel prices really affected school bus routes?
The good thing for Burlington is we are geographically small. I believe we're like 44 square miles, something like that.
Close knit.
We're population dense, geographically small. If you looked at Mount Pleasant Community School District, they go all the way from Mount Pleasant clear over by Pickle Church, all the way down by New London, clear on the other side of Trenton. Clear up to almost Rome. Fuel prices are going to kill them. You mm-hmm. know, it's really going to eat away at their general fund, most likely.
And that's going to go for pretty much all school districts, not just in Iowa, but in the entire country.
Absolutely.
Because you got big city school districts where not necessarily you're not going too many places, but you're sitting in traffic for a good while. That burns fuel too.
Absolutely. Now, I believe that some of the buses have the automatic kill. When you stop, the motor shuts down. You let off the brake, it starts back up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's good for emissions. That's good for consumption. It's good for many things. Now, I worry about wearing starters out You know what I mean? So if you were looking to start a business, you might want to start a starter business where you can rebuild the old ones or something. But, yeah, fuel prices are going to kill us. Mm-hmm. And then you have to think about heating, you know, cooling.
General energy costs.
General energy costs.
And those rates are all going through the roof. I just got my power bill, and I'm not too happy about it.
Right.
I can't imagine what it would be for a school district.
Oh, yeah, it'll be off the hook. Now, the good thing, again, Greg Reynolds, our financial guy, I always tease him because he's from one of the top business schools in the nation, and so I always tease him, and he's the president of the state board, you know, and all this kind of stuff. But I'm like, Greg, come on. You got to learn how to be better at counting things. You know, but
Got to be better at counting things. So, in general, the school's budget is pretty solid, you would say?
It is. Yep.
And obviously, things have to be, I would think things have to be pretty wrapped up for you with you stepping away from Burlington and with a new superintendent coming in
at
the start of the next year.
It is. And the, on a like on a tractor, on the tractors on our farm, there was a governor on that tractor, and it didn't allow me to run it too hard and cause damage to the engine because my dad knew I was rammy, and I usually ran stuff wide open. And he'd always remind me, you don't have to go 100 mile an hour and everything, slow down. Sounds like Nancy's advice to me.
That's right. I
need to start listening. But the government has placed a governor on school finance as well. And it's called the CPI, the growth index. So as the economy goes, so do the raises go. Now, right now, the economy's good. CPI's good. But they set a cap in the law of a certain number so that, that things don't grow exponentially quickly. So back in the day, the union sometimes would have settlements of, you know, upwards of 8 or 9 or 10% increases. Well, now they're getting closer to, you know, twos and threes. So you look at inflation. Now the governor that they've placed on school finance is actually leading to the teachers' pay not keeping pace with cost of living. So it was a good thing when things were good, or when things were bad, and it depends on what side of the line you're standing on.
Right.
You see what I mean?
Yes, absolutely, I do. We're talking with Burlington Superintendent Pat Cohen. We're going to get into some more school business. We're going to take a quick break for news. We'll be back after this, 7:31 at KBUR.
News now. News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR.
And now the latest from the KBUR newsroom. I'm Colin Letty. Des Moines County Conservation has announced the location of the next Hika Park. Hika Park Luckinbill Woods will start on Thursday, March 31st, to introduce visitors to this Des Moines County park. County Conservation Naturalist Marcus Knack will be leading this 1-to-4-mile hike on Thursday, the 31st at 3 p.m. For more information, contact Stars Cave Nature Center or visit them on Facebook. A compromise plan to let all-terrain vehicles travel on more county and state highways has cleared the Iowa House. Radio Iowa reports that if the bill becomes law, ATVs driving on local highways would have to be equipped with headlights, taillights, turn signals, and mirrors, plus the drivers would have to be at least 18 and have liability insurance. City officials would be able to prohibit ATVs from driving within city limits. Existing county ordinances designating where ATVs may travel on local highways would remain in effect, but county supervisors would have to get a local ATV club sign off if any changes are made in the future. Representative Dennis Cahoon of Burlington says that's a loss of local control.
Over two-thirds of the counties already have an ordinance. If that's up to negotiation with any group, I'm sure they would feel like that they're losing their control over being able to determine which roads are best, which are safest in their given areas.
Cahoon says ATVs aren't meant to be driven on highways, and he was one of the 29 House members to vote against the bill. There were 64 yes votes, though, sending the bill to the Senate for review. Nearly 7 million chickens and turkeys in 13 states have been killed this year due to avian influenza, prompting officials and farmers to acknowledge that despite their best efforts, preventing infections is incredibly difficult. State and federal officials hope the disease won't spread as extensively as during an outbreak in 2015 that led to the deaths of about 50 million chickens and turkeys, causing egg and meat prices to soar. Scientists are confident that wild birds are spreading the disease, but they're unsure how the virus infects commercial flocks in highly secure barns. research since 2015 suggests the virus can be tracked inside on equipment, workers, mice, small birds, and even dust particles. From the KBOR Newsroom, I'm Colin Letty.
This is a Fox News Alert. I'm Lillian Wu. Ukrainian President Vladimir Zelensky makes a direct appeal to Congress and to President Biden.
I wish you to be the leader of the world. Being the leader of the world means to be the leader of peace.
During his virtual address, once again calling for a no-fly zone, President Zelensky also played a graphic video of destruction in his country by Russia. On the ground, Ukrainian forces continue to hold the line in Kyiv.
Instead of advancing the army, Russia is opting for long-range fire, gun artillery, mortars, rockets, things of that nature. Mariupol is said to be a humanitarian disaster. For nearly 2 weeks, it has been surrounded and punished. No food, no water. Russian naval ships fired on the town overnight.
Fox's Mike Tobin in Lviv. This is a Fox News Alert.
Weather now. News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR.
We're looking at a sunny day today, a high reaching near 71 degrees. Tonight, increasing clouds, a low down to 48. A 30% chance of rain Thursday, a high of 59. Thursday night, rain 80% likely, a low down to 40. A 70% chance of rain Friday, a high of 44. Friday night, rain 30% likely, a low to 33. And mostly sunny Saturday, a high of 52. Right now, skies are sunny and clear, 50 degrees.
Jessica Ettinger, CNBC. Stocks poised to rally for a second day on Wall Street today ahead of what the Fed has signaled will be a quarter percentage point interest rate increase. Some investors believe it could be the first of a series of hikes. Get ready to pay slightly more on your credit card balances if you carry any, and on variable loans like adjustable rate mortgages. Investors are digesting Ukraine President Zelensky's virtual address to the U.S. Congress this morning. It's day 21 of Russia's unprovoked assault on his country. Starbucks CEO Kevin Johnson retiring. Former CEO Howard Schultz will return as the interim chief. The company's investor day is today. Starbucks is facing unionization at many stores. Retail sales came in higher for last month, but consumers spent at a slower pace than expected, as inflation may have finally started to impact consumer spending. Jessica Ettinger, CNBC.
Have you wanted to speak a new language but thought it'd be too difficult or take too much time? Then try Babbel. Whether you want to learn Spanish for future travel plans, French to connect with extended family, or maybe German to land a new job, Babbel works because it's built around real life. It teaches you everyday practical conversations that you'll actually use. All you need is 15 minutes a day, and you'll be on your way to confidently speaking a new language in just a few weeks. Babbel is designed by real language experts using a modern conversation-based technique that makes learning fun, engaging, and best of all, memorable. It starts by teaching you words and phrases. Then sentences gradually get more complex. Soon you're practicing short conversations about real life topics. And with 14 languages to choose from and lesson topics like travel, business, relationships, and more, you'll be sure to learn what matters most to you. Babbel, language for life. Learn a new language with ease. Go to babbel.com to try for free. That's BABBEL.com. Babbel.com.
At Food Bank of Iowa, every day is Veterans Day. No one should go hungry, especially those who have served our country bravely. If you need help with food, go to foodbankiowa.org to find pantries near you. That's foodbankiowa.org.
Create your ideal backyard this spring with help from Menards. Now is a great time to start building your outdoor projects with the Midwest's largest selection of AC2 pressure-treated lumber. It offers the natural look of wood with added protection for your outdoor projects. All AC2 pressure-treated decking and lumber is 11% off right now at Menards. Good through March 19th. Savings are mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
Start your day with KBUR.
The morning news. The weather.
Information you need to start your day.
Instant, up to date.
News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR. And online at KBUR.com.
And welcome back, News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR. We are speaking with Burlington Superintendent Pat Cohen about school business and whatever that may entail. And Mr. Cohen, I see you're highlighting the second page here, Kindergarten Roundup. Why don't you let us know about this?
Yep. If you have a child that's going to be 5 or 6, because some people kept their children home due to COVID, they chose to keep them home and safe, and I understand. You have a 5 or 6-year-old, you need to get to Kindergarten Roundup. You could call central office if you'd like. You can stop by one of the elementary schools, and they'll get you hooked up. Last year, we had a great number of kindergartners. We have additional primary teachers who are keeping our class sizes small. We have course early childhood center now, so all the people that go to course for preschool and daycare, natural flow right into the Burlington School District. So if you know somebody, a next-door neighbor, a niece or nephew who has a kindergartner, now's the time to call them up and remind them, it's Roundup time. Yeehaw!
This has got to be just one of the best events ever for these little kids.
I'll tell you, back in the day, I got out of the Army and I started teaching, and the only guy, it was a 600-student building, I was the only male teacher in the building. It was a early childhood type building.
Mm-hmm.
And so the only other guy in the building was a janitor. So I hung out with the janitor quite a bit. And Kindergarten Roundup, we'd stand by the door and we'd watch the moms coming in, and we'd go, is this mom going to cry or is she going to clap and cheer? Because the emotions are across the board.
Or she's going to do both.
But, yeah, we'd bet a dollar, you know what I mean, stand there. And some of the moms would cry and some of them would be just happy. And, you know, it's usually if it was their first kid, it was a little rough. But by the time it was their second or third kid, they were ready to march them in there and get them going in school.
Mm-hmm.
And we do have just absolutely fantastic kindergarten teachers. And we can't wait to see you.
And that is tonight, 5 to 7?
Oh, yep.
Says here on the sheet?
Yeah, the important stuff. That's why tonight. You're such a good reporter. Good media man.
Oh, thank you.
The details.
And so it says here that is tonight, 5 to 7 p.m. at all elementaries. Then over here it says Friday afternoon at Grimes and North Hill and at Blackhawk at Sunnyside at various times.
Yep. So round up your kindergartners. And if you know, every year, we're going out and finding children that we're aware of. So, community, help us out. If there's a single mom or a parent who has various barriers or challenges, and you know them from your church or some type of a support group or whatever,
mm-hmm.
share this information with them as well, because this is a community web that we need to push this out on.
Right.
And we do start going out and finding children. But it's a lot better if we don't have to.
Right. excuse me. This may be is a bit off-topic question. How is Burlington's, the school district's relationship with local parents? Do you guys have a very transparent relationship with them? And
we do. We hired Savannah Prescott, and she's now our community relations person. As you mentioned earlier, you know, June 20th, I'm retired. I'm out of here. I'm going to go on my next adventure.
Thank you. Goodbye.
There you go.
Is out of here.
Yep, and it will tear at my heartstrings because I walked into a Burlington kindergarten at mm-hmm. Roundup. You know, it's, I hate to think, 45 years ago or something like that. You know what I mean? So I get it.
It's a long time.
It is a long time. But the relationship is good. Savannah now has stuff so you can get everything on your cell phone, you know, because we have to communicate how families communicate now,
mm-hmm.
you know, because I look at some of these mothers and fathers bringing their children in. They are a decade younger than my oldest child, you know, so I've got to realize that I don't communicate the same way they do. So we got Savannah. She's doing that. So we've got all kinds of stuff on the cell phones, web page, you know, Twitter, mm-hmm. you know, all these different ways that we're trying to communicate and keep people informed and make sure they know what they need to know in plenty of time to have mm-hmm. reaction time. And that includes late starts, early outs, you know, all those type of things.
Mm-hmm. And the reason I ask is because it's a topic that's been spoken to death, but it bears repeating, not just with COVID restrictions, but with lots of other, I'm going to say, issues,
right,
for want of a better word. The relationship, it seems, with a lot of parents and school districts seems to be somewhat frayed in areas.
It is, and when you look at it, we did right-sizing. 3,500 kids, so that's just about 7,000 parents, 10,000 parents, and then most marriages end in divorce, so a lot of over 50%. So many of our students have what I would call a step-parents as well. Mm-hmm. So we probably have somewhere between 12 and 15,000 parents. We tend to hear from a very small percentage of them. To school people, the right sizing was a big deal. 97% of our population never showed up.
Mm-hmm.
We had multiple open town hall meetings. We had multiple forums. We had platforms on digital communication. So when you it's kind of like behavior. You know, people say, well, the schools are out of control. What I did is I called Michelle at the Hawkeye,
mm-hmm.
and I said, Michelle, you pick out a day, show up at my office unannounced. I will put my cell phone in my desk drawer. We'll take the sheet of paper that gives the enrollment at each school, and this is where we're at right now. We're going to walk into this building. There's 500 kids in this building.
Mm-hmm.
You pick the order of the buildings we go to. Nobody make text. Nobody makes a call. We'll walk through. We'll come out. We'll sit down, and we'll go, okay, there are 500 kids in there. How many kids do you see out of control?
Mm-hmm.
And then we do the math. And what we found was about 98% of our kids are doing what they're supposed to be doing.
Do you feel that amount of public transparency is important in a school district? Because obviously
you kept
a really great correspondence with the folks at the Hawkeye, and obviously you talk to us very frequently.
Yep, it is. It is important, and what people have to do is not let sensationalism get out of control.
Mm-hmm.
There was an incident. Every school, every city and county in Iowa has law enforcement because we have to, because mm-hmm. there are persistent social woes, misbehaviors that have to be dealt with by law enforcement. Under the roof of our high school, there are more people every day than in 85% of the towns in Iowa. So people are going to misbehave. And the way I try to explain this is, and I can go biblical, you know what I mean? It's Adam and Eve. All they had to do was not eat the apple, and they did. So now we have the original sin,
mm-hmm.
Cain and Abel. Hey, all we need you to do is don't kill your brother. But he did. People make mistakes. The big part of the school is teach them, hey, this is what you did. This is why it's wrong. Mm-hmm. This is what I need you to look like next time. And now knock it off and go on. But we can't let people make that a bigger issue than it is. When you walk through, Michelle and I walk through every building,
mm-hmm.
and 98.5% of our kids are doing what they're supposed to do. The best part was, and I won't say the best part, but it was enlightening for Michelle. We came around down past the athletic director's office, so the gymnasium's on our right.
Mm-hmm.
The athletic director's office on our left, and we're going to walk out into the cafeteria. We walked out into the cafeteria, and there were 50 kids in there. Kind of, obviously not engaged in academic endeavors.
It's lunch hour, I presume.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't. Oh, it wasn't. It was not. And Michelle said, what are these children doing? And I said, well, actually, they can't have PE today because our terrible out-of-control kids are in the gym giving their blood to the Southeast Iowa Blood Bank.
Mm.
That's why these children are here, because they're giving up their classroom space for a blood drive. You see what I mean?
I do.
Most of our kids are great kids. They really are. Some of them are butt cracks. They need their rear ends kicked.
Sorry. I wasn't expecting that word as a description.
Yeah, well, I probably shouldn't have used that, and the board president may call me after the interview. That's okay, because I'm a short timer.
This show is your opportunity to be candid.
Yep. And the thing we need to remember is I've been at this now for 33 years, and some kids that are butt cracks when they're in school become great adults,
mm-hmm.
and they do great things.
Right.
The vast majority of them.
Well, the reason I ask the transparency question is because the relationship between parents and schools has I really don't want to use the phrase culture war, but that's what it's been dubbed. There's been a lot of social issues regarding schools and specifically what's being taught in schools that a lot of parents are becoming more and more involved. Do you see that as a positive or a negative?
I see it as a positive because in reality, when you look at the information, you're able to show what you are doing. The Burlington Black Leadership Council came to us and they said, well, you're not doing anything for Black History Month. And I said, what? Well, you're not doing anything for Black History Month. I said, Corey, I need we're sending an email out to all the principals. Send us what you're doing. Corey did a complete curricular scrub and was able to say, here's where we teach this, here's where we teach this, here's where we teach this. We had the shining example was at Aldo Leopold. They actually turned the auditorium into a museum where you could walk through and do different things.
I remember that. That was a great event.
Yeah. So there's when people say something that's, hey, this is wrong, we, the school, need to look at it and say, okay, here's the evidence that we have that shows what we're doing. But at the same time, we have to say to ourselves, are we doing enough? Are we doing it well? Are we doing it with fidelity?
Mm-hmm.
Are we, you see what I mean? We have to question ourselves all the time.
I only bring it up because it really is a very sensitive subject with people. I think for the most part because it involves children.
It is. And then plus they have a preconceived idea of what school is, you know what I mean, mm-hmm. in their mind. And what it is to them isn't the same thing it is to someone else, you know. And as I said earlier, you can have a child who's very problematic growing up and is strong-willed, stands up for what they believe is right, and they become argumentative, and they do all these things. But in life, you have to help them use those attributes to become a positive contributing member to a community.
Right. Oh, it's like anything else. It is 9:50 at KBOR. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with more with Pat Cohen just after this.
IOWA.
Let's fly for three.
Good. These are the letters we chant with enthusiasm.
Here's a long three from the wing. Good.
Hawkeye basketball all season long on the Hawkeye Sports Network.
Iowa faces the Richmond Spiders in opening round NCAA tournament play Thursday afternoon at 1.
Brought to you by Ritter's Landscaping Home and Garden Center, courtesy Door Sales and Service, Pizza Ranch, Bickle Cycling and Fitness, and by the Pilot Grove Savings Bank on News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR.
I struggled with symptoms like frequent gas and stomach pain for years.
I was bloated all the time with daily diarrhea.
At first, I thought it was what I was eating.
I kept thinking it was stomach issues.
So I did my research and talked to my doctor, and we finally uncovered the truth.
It was actually EPI. Exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI, is a condition where your pancreas is unable to help break down your food.
It can lead to symptoms like diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, unexplained weight loss, and oily stools.
And EPI symptoms can be confused with those of other common digestive conditions, like irritable bowel syndrome, Crohn's, and celiac disease.
So getting to the right diagnosis meant being more open with my doctor about the severity of my symptoms and how often they were happening.
But there's good news. EPI is manageable, so don't wait any longer. Use the symptom checker at identifyepi.com and schedule a visit or call with your doctor to ask, Could I have EPI?
Sponsored by AbbVie.
At Food Bank of Iowa, every day is Veterans Day. No one should go hungry, especially those who have served our country bravely. If you need help with food, go to foodbankiowa.org to find pantries near you. That's foodbankiowa.org.
We stand for peace.
Farm Bureau works every day to create a vibrant future for agriculture, farm families, and our communities, benefiting Iowans from all walks of life, like Farm Bureau member Jeremy Atwood.
Growing up in high school, I was fortunate enough to receive the local County Farm Bureau scholarship that helped me in tuition costs when I went to Iowa State. We've doubled that scholarship and now offer two scholarships. Knowing that Farm Bureau is there and looks out for the interests of agriculture, I am very optimistic about the future of farming. Someday when my boys decide to return to the farm or help me in the farm, I know the Farm Bureau will still be there looking out for the best interest of the local farmer. Farm Bureau is a great leader when it comes to looking at all issues connected with rural agriculture in Iowa.
We're the Iowa Farm Bureau, a century strong and growing. To become a member, call your local County Farm Bureau today.
Come into Morning Sun Farm Implement and see their lineup of Kubota equipment rated number one in reliability in the under 100 horsepower category. Like Kubota BX and L Series compact tractors designed with you in mind with performance matched attachments. You own the land. It's time to have the right tractor, and their experts will help you find it. They can also make sure your equipment is ready for spring in their parts and service department. Stop by today and get zero down, 0% APR for up to 60 months. Stop by Morning Sun Farm Implement today or visit their website for details. Now through June 30th, 2022, see them or go to KubotaUSA.com for more information.
It is 9:54 at KBUR, News Radio 99.3-1490 KBUR, that is. We are talking to Burlington Superintendent Pat Cohen, who will be superintendent for a little while longer still, but he's departing at the end of the year. And just, it's been kind of a soup-to-nuts discussion about school business, but in general it seems like the school district, pretty much all the schools in Burlington, are doing very well coming out of the pandemic. I spoke to John Billups, who's with Burlington Notre Dame, on Monday, or on Tuesday, rather, and it just seems like all the schools are doing really well right now.
Yeah, our recovery rate, Corey Johnson, our curriculum director, went over test scores and that type of thing, and the recovery's happening faster than we anticipated. Board President Joel Siren sat down and worked with us. We came up with a plan to hire the interventionalists and smaller class sizes with our little people and work diligently getting caught back up, and it's paying off. So we invested that ESSER money wisely, and now we're getting the dividends from doing that.
It just seems like a lot of things post-pandemic are looking really good for schools. And I think if the Burlington sports teams are any indication, things are just going to get better and better.
Yeah, I think so. And there's so much excitement that comes out of that, and school pride, you know, and the ability to hold your head up, you know, those type of things.
And I'm a very big proponent of school pride equals community pride.
Yeah, it does. It does.
Me coming from a very small community where the school district and is a lot of what goes on.
Is the town.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. Yeah, I spent time as a superintendent in Winfield, Mount Union, Little Mount Union, and then Winfield. That town just rallied around that school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was amazing. And, you know, here you talked earlier about communication and community and, you know, those type of things. You'll have one or two people that show up at a board meeting, you know, once in a while. They'll get up and they'll, you know, say their piece. And that's why we have public comments, you know, at the board meeting, is to give them the opportunity to get up and, hey, here's what I believe and here's what I feel.
And it can get a bit tense at times.
Yeah, it does. It does. But when you do that, just be ready to look at the data, you know, because we had a meeting. Well, this is out of control and this is out of control. Well, here's the video. Actually, it lasted 20 seconds. You know, in the earlier you were talking about the frenzy, or maybe I brought it up. But the next thing you know, people are calling into a radio show and they're saying there were 7 fights at the school, and there was a fight on every floor simultaneously, and none of it was true. You know what I mean? But it was just that the social media.
It's a mob mentality, I think, is what the phrase would be. But it is easy for people to jump to conclusions, I think. But that's a symptom of very different issues.
Yeah, it is. It is. And, you know, it's just, I don't know, it's just a mindset, maybe, you know, where you can't see the good, you know what I mean? Or
I think, as I said earlier, there's probably a lot more passion involved because it involves kids.
Right.
And so naturally it would be a bit more passionate because people are very protective of youth in this country.
Right. Yep.
It's like anything else, but it seems like things over the past couple of years have been crazier than we're used to.
Oh, my. Yeah. When I great lead-in. Good job. The years ago, I became a superintendent. I had my first job, and Governor Chuck Colver did an across-the-board cut, 10%. And Chuck Rickard, the former superintendent and high school principal, my mentor, and since I was in high school, you know, was talking to me. He says, Pat, you will never face anything as bad as you're facing right now. This across the board 10% cut. This the rest of your career will be easy after this.
Well,
wrong answer. Thanks, Chuck. You're wrong. You know, because there were,
it's a very wrong answer.
Very wrong answer.
If only you knew what St. Patrick's Day 2020 would look like.
Oh, my gosh. Poor down here.
That's why I say tomorrow, let's celebrate the end of the pandemic. What do you say?
Hey, and take a guess, people. My name is Patrick Michael. And, yes, I am Irish Catholic. And, yes, tomorrow is a big day.
I'm not Catholic, but I am also Irish.
There you go. Down here at the Irish bar, what's the
Kelly O'Shea's?
Kelly O'Shea's. That poor guy. What do you have? Like 1,100 pounds of corned beef and hash.
I say this year, let's go down there, eat it all, and have a pint and celebrate.
I'm telling you, that when they shut him down that day, it was already cooking.
Absolutely. Well, Mr. Cohen, I want to say thank you as always for coming to join us today.
Absolutely, I appreciate it, and I. It's great that you let us get news out to people so they know the facts.
Always a pleasure. 959 at KBUR. Stay tuned for AgriTalk coming up after the news.